time for you to get your outlines out. We'd like for you to have that with you. I think we're going to keep adding that to that to-go bag, Mr. Robert. I think maybe we should also throw in a watermelon and as much of Aunt Dawn's fried chicken as we can get a hold of, and that would be really, really good. I am looking forward to tonight as we continue our study. 2 weeks ago, when I was here last, we looked at a perplexing parable, and in that perplexing parable, Jesus had found a fruit tree, come across this fruit tree, that was a fig tree that was completely fruitless. And as we unpacked this acted out parable, it was an actual tree and Jesus acted the whole thing out, as we learned that Jesus was using this fruitless fig tree to illustrate what Israel, what the verdict was on Israel's spiritual assignment that God had given them. God had given Israel the spiritual assignment of promoting God to a world and promoting God to every people. Isaiah 49 verse 3 says this, "You are my true servant, Israel. I will show my glory through you." And as we learned, God's chosen people had not been productive in that spiritual assignment God had given to them. With that being the case, God was now moving on from what was not thriving and not producing. Was God throwing Israel away? Was he removing them from his love? Absolutely not. But God was shifting the opportunity of being God's champions and the assignment of saving the world. He was moving that assignment, reaching it out to others. Now, before we move into tonight's perplexing parable of a second fig tree, it would be very advantageous for us to identify what went wrong in the parable of the cursed fig tree, that first fig tree. To do this, we need to get our minds wrapped around a very big topic. We need to get our minds wrapped around some gigantic philosophical questions. Questions like, what is the big picture of existence? What is my, or what is anyone's reason for being? And what am I supposed to do with my life? Friends, let me tell you right now, there is a big picture. There is a creator, and there is a purpose, a destiny, and a fate for everything. However, the mistake we make about the big picture is thinking that the big picture is about me. It's about my life. Gang, the big picture is not about our lives being fulfilling. It is not about our lives being fulfilling. That's an offshoot. We'll save that for another day. But believe me, I get that idea. I understand why people would think the big picture is about my life being fulfilling. I get that, and it sounds really good. The big picture of our existence should be about each of us finding fulfillment and contentment in life. But gang, that's not the case. Our personal fulfillment is not the reason that the universe exists. What is the big picture? Well, the big picture is our lives fulfilling God's redemptive plan. The big picture is God and his procurement of his amazingly grand family. What this means is that the focus of mankind's entire story, the reason you and I and everyone before us and after us exist, the big picture of everything cannot and should not be our personal fulfillment. That is a lie that entered into mankind's heart back in the Garden of Eden. It's a lie that has been living out ever since then. Israel was living that out when Jesus walked into Jerusalem in our parable 2 weeks ago. And this idea that it's all about me is being lived out full force today. But the big picture for everything is in existence is not our personal fulfillment. The universe, which is ever expanding, the stars that fill the sky at night, the sun coming up in the morning, is much, much bigger than just making me happy. The big picture of creation, the big picture of the universe, and the lives that we live are all about God's redemptive plan to rescue mankind, which is spiritually dead, and by bringing each one back to life and then adopting them into his royal family to live forever. That is the big picture from the ends of the universe all the way down to the atoms that make up the air that you are breathing right now. God is 100% about rescuing and adopting people. He is about infusing them with the Holy Spirit, then having those people join with him and assist him in the rescuing mission. Allow me to diagram this for you and try to make this a little bit easier to follow. Now, if you can't see that, don't sit in the back next time. Move up front, and you'll see a lot better. The big picture is this. It starts right here. This is life. You and I know what life is. It's everything we know, see, breathe. Life is going on. You're in it. Everybody is just in that river of life. We're in life. Life is happening and life is occurring. Unfortunately, in the life that we were brought into, what we don't know is this. We've been born spiritually dead. See those X's on his eyes? This person represents anyone. And they are spiritually dead. We're not born with our spirit alive. What happens in the grand picture of God's plan is someone comes into your life, and that person pushes you towards the cross of Jesus Christ. They introduce you somehow to Jesus Christ, and the dead person comes to Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ says, "Let me open your eyes. Let me take away your sin through the power of what I did on the cross, and let me give you birth on your spiritual part of your being." After we have had this moment with Jesus Christ at the cross, and we are now his, then something interesting happens. Right then, God starts taking us up from the life that we've known, the life that is going on and continues to go on. God starts lifting us up to a new life. He has a new life for each of us. And in this new life, God will have us learn his ways. He will show us that there's a life to the full that he has designed for each of us. And they're unique. What God calls you to and puts into your life is different than it's in mine. A lot of things match up, but we're all gonna have this new life with Jesus Christ. We have found Christ. He lifts us into a new life. Life is still happening on earth here, but we are now living a new life with Jesus Christ. And in that process of the new life, in the process of that new life, God will do just like he's doing with Maggie. God will say, "I'm gonna give you a kingdom assignment. Your kingdom assignment is this. Remember that person over here who was really big and instrumental in your life, leading you to Jesus Christ, or just showing you the way, or bringing you to church, or handing you a Bible, or giving you a tract? Remember that person? Your kingdom assignment is now I want you to go back. I want you to go to the life that you've known, the life that's happening. I want you to stand there, and I want you to bring kingdom life to them. I want you to show them Jesus Christ. I want you to introduce them to the cross and show them Jesus." That's the big picture. That's what is going on in existence. It's not about more than that. It's about that. That is what is going on. Now, what happened is, gang, last time the parable we looked at of the cursed fig tree, there was a breakdown here. Israel had a breakdown, and their breakdown was right here. Israel was not presenting God to the lost. Their breakdown was here, and they weren't doing a good job of bringing people to God. So God says, Jesus is going to address that with the parable of the fig tree. It's not about their own personal happiness. It's not about their own success. It's not about their own fulfillment in life. All of that is different. That's going to be an offshoot of actually following God. But that's where the breakdown was with Israel. Now, tonight's parable, this is different. Jesus uses this same equation, but the breakdown appears somewhere else in the process. And that's what Jesus wants to address. The breakdown, I'll just let you know where it's going to happen. The breakdown happens here. And we'll get into that more and more as we travel through this. Let's read Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, and look at this second fig tree and the parable that Jesus uses to talk about this breakdown here. Then Jesus told this story. He says, a man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, the owner says to his gardener, he says, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Gardener, cut it down. It's just taken up space in the garden. But the gardener answered, he said, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. And if we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. So gang, we have Jesus telling a second parable here about a second fig tree that is not being productive. These fig trees were not producing. And here's what we know. Here's what we know about this. We know that this tree was planted by a man, and I'll let you know right now, that man represents God. We know that God has planted and owns this tree. This is his. And we know that the tree has been in God's care for 3 years. But even in God's care, the tree is not thriving. We also know that God has a gardener. And the gardener rarely represents Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, we know that God expects this tree to thrive. And he has been eagerly waiting for good things to happen to this tree, but they ain't happening. And so God and the gardener come to the tree, and God sums up the situation for the gardener and says, look, this tree, it just isn't going to get productive. The gardener, however, offers an option, and he offers hope. The gardener says, let me work on this tree. The King James tells us, let me dig around the tree in that soil. Let me pour in nutrients, and then let's see what happens. So that is what we believe they're going to do. Let's go back to our diagram. The breakdown with this fig tree is going on right here. That's where the breakdown is happening. It's the point where the new life should be forming. It's the part where the new life should start taking formation. But this person, although they belong to God, that's not happening. They've been rescued from their old life of being dead in sin. They're rescued from that. And they now have a new spirit inside of them. But they're having trouble leaving behind the old. They're having trouble accepting and embracing the new. And gang, this can happen for all kinds of reasons. For some people, it may be the way they view themselves. I've had people who I talk to who label themselves as, I'm an unwanted mess up, or I'm a worthless loser. And for the life of them, they can't shake that belief off, and it stunts their growth. For others, the disconnect can in the new life can come from the way they view God. They can see God as harsh, God as aloof, God as judgmental. They don't see God as a close being, an encouraging father, and a loving God. For others, it may be a haunting of the thing in their past, a haunting of the things they've done, things they've said, things they've thought. And for still others, it may be a shame or an embarrassment for their present actions. Now, though this parable often gets lost among the more well-known parables of Jesus, this is a very significant parable. You see, gang, you don't realize it, but you, each and every one of you, are tremendous storytellers. It's true. And your captive audience is yourself. I remember meeting a young adult one time who just couldn't shake the guilt and the shame of something they had said to a loved one years ago that caused a large rift in their relationship. They told me that time had gone on and the two of them have even repaired things. But it's not quite the same, they told me. And years later, my friend can't shake the memory of what they said that caused that pain to the other one. They told me they relive that moment every time they think of that old friend. So I asked them a question. I said, let me ask you, do you have lots of good memories with your friend? And they said, oh yes, I have tons and tons of good memories. I said, then why are you choosing to tell yourself the bad story over and over instead of telling yourself the good stories? I went on to say, I said, you're choosing to tell yourself this short horror story instead of telling yourself the wonderful, funny, delightful stories that you've had with your friend. I said, man, your friend has forgiven you, and God has forgiven you. It's time to be a good storyteller. Let's make this our first takeaway tonight. Let me ask you a question. What story are you telling yourself? Because if you are constantly telling yourself about your faults, if you are constantly telling yourself the story about your failures, your mess-ups, your shortcomings, your insecurities, well, friend, it's time to burn that book. And it's time to start telling yourself a new story. That's what the gardener in this parable saw. And the gardener knew. Things can get fixed. Things can change. And the gardener says this, sir, let it stand for one more year. I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. You know, friends, there is an unspoken process that must go on in the journey in our new life. And a lot of times, this process can get neglected. It's what's going on in this parable. It starts with the digging that the gardener, or Jesus, talks about. This digging is an exploration and a studying of our hearts and our minds. This digging, it's a turning over of things that we have seen and that we've cataloged. It's a tilling of the things that we have done, and it's a review of the stories that we are telling ourselves from our old life. The digging around our life tree is a breaking up of cemented ideas and cemented ways that have been feeding and fueling our old life. The gardener says our past must get dug up because it's stunting and it's blocking the new roots from branching out and growing. The old life that we have lived is a hard and packed down soil, and it contains the good, the bad, and the ugly. So don't think for a second that the digging is going to be easy or pain-free. No, it's going to take some pretty aggressive hoeing, maybe even jackhammering, to break up the old soil, sift through it, and begin the healing and the relief. The gardener mentions, along with the tilling and examination of the soil, he wants to pour in fertilizer, his Miracle-Gro, This is the good stuff. This is what will make the soil conditions right and will make it healthy. The examination of the soil being broken up can uncover a vast array of hardening agents and poor nutrients that we've had. Everyone's life soil is different, but the gardener's prescription for a healthy, unfruitful, non-growing tree falls into three main categories. This is how we'll get healthy. The first is this: writing and clarifying your newfound support system. Friends, one of the biggest obstacles of our growth is our view of God. If we are going to grow in our relationship with God, then we must know who God is and what he's really like. Now, many believers of Jesus Christ can grasp and they can accept the fact that, well, God is forgiving and God's even willing to hold back his wrath towards us. But the characteristic of God's grace makes it clear that God is way, way more than that. God's grace assures us that God is 100% for you. He is our unabashed, unstoppable, always devoted supporter. He is your biggest fan, no matter how good or how bad we have been. His support and fanatical devotion come to us whether we deserve it or whether we don't. That's just who God is. And our soil must be tilled to allow that to infiltrate our hearts, souls, and minds. It also means that God will supply us with what we don't have. It means that God will supply us with all that we require in the new life. That God will supply us with whatever we need in order to change into what he wants us to be. The God of this universe is our newfound support system. And he has your back. And not just when you're good. He has your back and he is devoted to us when we blow it. I was a professional firefighter for 30 years. And one of my last jobs in my last year was a very difficult job that we went to on the highway on Route 1 and 9 in Linden. It was a very bad accident, motorcycle accident. And it was as bad as it could be. The guy who was riding a motorcycle wound up under the back of a tanker truck that had gasoline, was hauling gasoline. He didn't make it. And when I got there, I was one of the first ones there with my rig. Others started coming quickly. We assessed the situation. We saw that it was a recovery. It wasn't a save that was going to happen. And you would think that you have some time on those kind of jobs because there's no life saving that can take place that's been decided. But it's not a easy process. And people want a lot done and they want it done quickly. So people started showing up from all kinds of places. Lots of other agents showed up, lots of other rigs. And my boss wanted to recover the body quickly. Unfortunately, it was pinned under the back wheels of this tanker truck. And I was underneath there. I was under that tanker truck trying to figure out how we could possibly lift it. And my boss was saying, gotta get that thing off. Gotta do it. And no one could figure out how to do it fast. With what we had. We could do it, if we had time, we could do it. We couldn't do it fast. So finally, I looked to my boss, as I'm laying on the ground, I looked to him from the back of the rig, the back of the tanker truck. I said, I got an idea. He's what? I said, we have jaws of life. Now, jaws of life are gigantic scissors that are incredibly powerful. They're driven by hydraulics. I said, if you want this done fast, I believe I can take those jaws of life and stand them on end like scissors, catch that rear axle, and I know they will lift that rig. And he says, it's risky. We went back and forth. Things started getting more crazy. People started showing up. Finally, he gave me his okay. Go ahead, give it a try, Captain Kleinbell. All right. So I went under there, and I got those scissors, I got that Jaws of Life under the axle, and I started cranking it. I said, I'm going to give it all the power it's got. And that thing started to go up. That axle started to go up. But people were waiting. People were nervous, didn't know what to do, whether to pull out the recovery or not. And as it started to climb, the axle started to move, and the jaws started to slip. It lasted about 10 seconds. I yelled, if you don't get it now, it's not going to make it much longer. And about 8-10 seconds later, the jaws of life slipped. Everything came back down. We wound up taking a long time to get the job done, but about 3 days later, I was called into the chief's office. I said, Captain Climbo, we got to talk to you. So what happened? Went to the chief's office, and the chief said, we had a complaint about what happened that night. I said, okay, what's the complaint? They said, well, people are saying that you were the cause of it, because what happened when that thing dropped was probably what was the deciding factor whether that person lives, and that's not the case. So I told him the story, what happened, and he listened. He sat there rubbing his chin, listening the whole time. I told him the story just like I told you. He says, Captain Climbell, you're good. Go home. Go back to your firehouse. It's all taken care of. Don't worry. I'll make the whole thing right. And I couldn't believe it was that quick and easy. But you see, the reason why I had done that, the reason why I had tried what I did underneath that rig is because I had been taught 30 years ago, and my boss had taught 30 years ago, that they would rather we try something and it fail than to try nothing at all. And I remember back when we first taught us this, said, don't worry about it. We've got your back. If you're trying, we'll take care of it no matter what. Well, my chief knew that rule, and he lived by it. And that is the kind of God we serve. Gang, we will find our soil hard to grow in if we believe that God is disproving and that God is condemnatory. But we will grow. And we will get big when we know that God is our supporter. He is our cheerleader. He is our advocate who has our back no matter what. That is who God is. And that is his grace towards us. The second healing category after writing and clarifying your newfound support system is this. Change what we are convinced of. You see, the digging up that we will do, that uncovers a lot of bad. It uncovers a lot of untrue. It uncovers a lot of condemnatory things and burdensome things. But the fertilizer that Jesus longs to put in, well, that's different. Jesus wants to put in what's real. Jesus wants to put in what is freeing. He wants to put in what is accurate, what is factual. You see, untruth, well, that's the ultimate soil hardening agent. But truth? Truth will set you free. My friend who kept telling themselves the story about their failure with their other friend, they needed to infuse some truth that once God has forgiven it, it's removed as far as the east is from the west. And for the person who views themselves as an unwanted loser, well, they need to accurately see themselves not as that, but as the prize that Jesus said you're worth dying on the cross for. The ones being haunted by their past words and actions, they need to lay hold of the fact that they're a new creation in Christ, that the old has passed away. And the ones who believe that they will never achieve, they will never win, they will never overcome, they need to drink in the truth that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. This parable is aimed at those who are not progressing in their new life with Christ. And Jesus says, you need to dig up the old soil you're living in and free the roots from the cement of the past. The second thing you need to do is pour in what is actual and feed on God's word and draw strength from the Son of God. Know who God really is and know that he picked you. And the last piece is this, to be patient. The gardener in the parable asks for a year, doesn't he? Did you catch that? He asks for a year. I encourage you to think about what can be done in 1 year. If I ate just 500 calories less than I burn a day, if I eat just 500 less a day for a whole year, I would lose 52 pounds. You would think it was my brother Jay standing up here. If you read just 3 1/4 chapters of your Bible a day, you'd read through the whole Bible in a year. If you enroll in college today, you'll be halfway to your associate's degree in 1 year. If you address a bad habit for 21 days, that's the norm for breaking a habit, they're saying mentally. If you address a bad habit for 21 days and kept repeating that, in 1 year you would have 17 broken habits. If you attended Saturday night service regularly and went to one of the women's groups, small groups, men's group, Octane Fuel, if you did that, you would have invested over 100 hours into your relationship with God in 1 year. That's what the gardener Jesus wants to do for you and me. He wants to dig up our lives and show us what we've been living in. He wants to pour in his spirit and have us feed on truth. And he is more than okay to give the process some time. I think what for me is very sobering about this parable is we're never told the end. We're never told the end of this story. We're not given the flash ahead to the 1 year later update. Doesn't happen. We are not told if the owner's prediction that the tree will remain fruitless is the actual outcome, or if the gardener's hope that the tree will respond, whether that's the outcome. I believe that's because God wants the outcome to be left to you and me. We write the rest of the story. What will be the story of our big picture timeline? This is your life as well as mine. Will we grow and progress into the new life that God has for us? Will we break out of the muck and the clay and the cement as Jesus digs us free from it? Will we bask in the support and the cheering on of our God, who wants the best for us without condition? Will we become a fruitful fig tree that grows and produces fruit that God has been waiting for? And then, will we be vitally important to somebody else, that God would rescue them? I know for me, I'd like to believe that in this bet, the gardener won. But it's not given to us. I'm going to ask the band, worship leaders, and prayer team to come back and have you think about this and say, where am I at in this process? And will I let God break up my old life and help me arise from what was holding me back? Will I rise into the new life that God has for me? And will I learn his ways? Will I learn who I really am and my identity in Christ? Will I arise from here out of the old life, become who God wants me to be, and then be able to reach back down in my assignment and reach somebody else and pull them to the cross, let them find Jesus and find the new life God has for us? Would you stand and take a moment to say, Lord, help me to arise. Help me to grow out of the old muck and mire, and help me write the end of this story with my life, saying, the tree turned around. The tree became fruitful. The tree became one of God's favorites. And the tree never died. and it's going strong today because it rose from where it needed to be dug out of. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us as we continue in our journey to where you want us to be and the road that you have for us. Lord, I pray that as you look at each of our trees, as you walk up to each one of us and say, I've been watching this one for years, I pray that you would see fruit. And I pray that you would help each of us to embrace what you have for us. Help us to be brave enough, knowing that your grace will allow us to dig through anything that we've been through. And Lord, I pray that as you pour in the fertilizer of truth to go with your grace, you would show us what you want us to be and how you see us and who you really are. And then, Lord, I thank you for that amazing gift of time that you allow us to understand you, to continue to have moments where we grow closer to you, and that we're not instantly perfect, but that we grow. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be fig trees that you'd be proud of. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to always remember that there are others who've not found you. And always remember that you're looking for fruit. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to spend the next 5 minutes just talking with one another before we break down, and then we'll see you next week for Youth Night.